Bible study, and maybe if the bounce houses get here, they'll start bouncing a little early, eh? All right, well, I'm so glad y'all are here today. We like to do, or I like to do, I don't know what everybody else likes, I like to do series. We spent some time in Joshua at the first of the summer. We've talked weeks on what hope means before that. So I'm just constantly looking at, you know, how can we frame God's Word? And I'm so excited. Today we're starting a new series. It's kind of the pre-start to the series. And the name of the series that we're going to do over the next 6 weeks is called The God Questions. The God Questions. There was a group in California, a pastor, and he did this. He did a nationwide survey, and with this question: if you could stand in front of God, if you could stand in front of God and ask him one question, what would you ask him? And he said, you know, it was very interesting that as all these replies came back in, all the different questions, that if people could stand in front of God and ask a question, what it would be. He found there were six top answers. The top six, he said that there was just hundreds and hundreds of questions people would ask, but over and over again, these top six questions kind of rose to the top. They are questions that people have about God. They may be a question you have about God. They're definitely probably questions that lost people that you know, family, friends, neighbors, it might be the reason they don't come to church, because they have this burning question about God and they just wish they had an opportunity to ask. We're going to look over the next 6 weeks of each of those six questions. We're going to take them week by week and just cover the top six questions. Now, this might be something, like I said, that might be helpful for you. If anything, it'll be helpful for you if you have a friend that has one of these questions. You can pass it on. Let me read them real quick. If you were able to stand in front of God, here are the top six. Number one, is God real? I kind of think if you're standing in front of God, you might already know that answer. But is God real? That's a question. That is, they said, if I had the opportunity to talk to God, I was going, God, I know I've heard about you. I've also heard about a lot of other things. Are you real? Is the Bible true? You know, is this something that you really ordained? Or is this something that just a bunch of people wrote down and it's not really true? Is God true? And is the Bible true? Do all roads lead to heaven? Or really, how do you get to heaven? You know, that's a question people want to know. Can I be a Buddhist? Can I be a Muslim? Can I be, you know, one of these other religions and still get to heaven? I want to know that, God. Number four, why do you allow suffering? Why do you allow suffering? You know, God, if you're such a good God, why is there so much suffering in the world? Number five, how did you create the world? And really, you dig down to this one, is creation real or is evolution real? You know, creation or evolution? We're going to talk about that. And finally, the last one is, what happens when I die? A lot of people want to know, you know, what is it that happens? Does it just stop or do we keep going? So over the next 6 weeks, starting next week, we're just going to answer each one of those questions. We would love you to come back and hear the answers to know. Now today, I'm going to throw in one extra question, you know, kind of my own personal question. If I could stand in front of God, I'd want to ask him this. I want to ask him, why don't you answer all my prayers? Do y'all ever have that question? I mean, do you ever have prayers where you just kind of go, God, I prayed it and I prayed it and I prayed it. The Bible says you answer prayer. You say you love me. Why don't you answer all my prayers? So today we're going to talk about that. Now, before we get into it, I want to play a little bit of a game with you real quick. This is really for a little bit older crowd. If you are probably 45 and up, if you're below 45, this will make no sense. But I want to ask you, and just kind of give me a hand clap if you remember this. I'm going to name off some TV shows. And I'm going to see if you remember these TV shows, okay? Now, I'm going to couple of them, because used to, you know, you would say, you know, this came, you know, kind of your Thursday night lineup or something. These are more 70s kind of shows. So let's see if you know it. How many of y'all remember Love Boat and Fantasy Island? Y'all remember Love Boat? The Plane! I heard they're remaking that. We used to watch that as a kid. I would get up and, you know, I mean, at night, Mom and Dad would turn that on and you'd watch Love Boat, and then directly following Love Boat, you know, here comes Ricardo Montalban out. How about Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. Do y'all remember that one? Yeah? Yeah, Happy Days. You know, some of y'all might have seen him on TV Land. That was kind of interesting. We're kind of remembering back to his 70s about a show that was about the 50s. That's kind of, you know, but that was a great show. Oh, I love this one. $6 Million Man and the Bionic Woman. Do y'all remember these? Yeah? Lee Majors, you boing, you know, just it was interesting. Anyway, other shows: Charlie Angels, Dallas, Mork and Mindy. Now, I bring these shows up, and I actually bring up the order that they were in because here's an interesting thing, student. This is an interesting thing. When I was growing up, you had to be in front of the television at a certain time on a certain date, and if you weren't there, you missed the show. There was no makeup. You couldn't turn it on the internet. You couldn't. There was no such thing as a VCR until probably the late 70s. I mean, if you weren't there at 7 o'clock on Thursday night, and you would miss the episode of Happy Days, and then you would have to wait till the off season when they would start doing the reruns again. That was how you had to do it back then. You had to be there. Now, today, let me ask you this, and this is for my younger people. How many of y'all binged watched any television shows this week? Have you been? Yeah, not this week. Yeah, okay. So you took a week off. That's good. Yeah, I remember the first time we binged watched. Me and Rebecca, we'd heard about this show that we hadn't been watching. We had missed those dates when it was on, called Lost. And we went over to a friend's house, and there still wasn't a lot of internet going on then, but they were sending, you could buy the entire season on DVD of Lost. And our friends had bought it. I don't know how much they spent, but me and Rebecca, we went home that night, and I remember it. And we were sitting in bed, and we had the TV and the VCR, I mean the DVD player going, and we put DVD one in, and we watched that 45 minutes of Lost, no commercials. Man, that was great. You had to sit through the commercials back then, too. And we watched it, and the show went off, and we said, let's watch another one. And we watched it again, and by the end of the night, I don't know, Rebecca, what was it? Was she here? I don't know where she went. It was 6, 7, 8 episodes later, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and we're kind of going, okay, we've got to stop. Yeah, it's the world we live in now. We like on-demand entertainment, don't we? In fact, there's lots of people that have called our generation the on-demand generation. We want what we want now. We want to be able to watch it on our phone, watch it on our tablet, watch it on our Roku hooked to our TV. We want it what we want, and we want it now. And I think this goes back to my question. The question was, God, why don't you answer my prayers? And I'm afraid the church today, we would like to serve an on-demand God. We want from our God what we want, how we want it, and we want it right now. Now, I know as pastor of church, I'm supposed to be better than that. You know, I know I'm supposed to go, okay, God, I get it. You're not going to give me everything I wanted, but I fall to that. This week, I had a time where I just really wanted an on-demand God. I had borrowed a vehicle from somebody in the church, a truck. It was really nice having that truck that, you know, and they gave me a key. In fact, do I have it in my pocket? No, I don't have it in my pocket. But it was one of those keyless kind of keys, right? You know, it's a fob. You know, it wasn't just like a key that you go make another. If you lose that sucker, you know what, $300, $400, $500 to get the fob made. And I think you know where this story is going. Last Sunday night, I go to Walmart at 9 o'clock at night because I know it was in Hempstead, and that's when Walmart closes in Hempstead. Okay, that's a whole different story. 9 o'clock at night, I'm coming back from Walmart. I get home and I have all these bags, so I scoop up all the bags. I got some trash I'm fixing to take to the trash can, my wallet, you know, I'm scooping everything up, and I'm going inside, and you know, I kind of throw it all down, and it's just a regular day till I wake up on Monday morning and I can't find the keys to that truck I borrowed. And I start going, okay, I got to get to work. I've got a staff meeting I got to get to, and I start looking, and I start immediately doing this. God, just help me find that key, right? I need the key, and I need it now. And I start praying about that key, and I think, okay, I think I went to the restroom right after I came in from Walmart. It's in the bathroom. That's where it's. I go, no keys. No keys on the way to the bathroom. It must be out in the truck. I go out in the truck. I kind of look around. Nothing. By this time, I'm running out of time. I say, Rebecca, just carry me up to the church. I'll come back after lunch, and I'll find that key. I come back after lunch, and I spent the next 5 hours looking every, I mean, this is a borrowed vehicle with a 500, I don't know how much that key costs, but more than I want to pay for it. And I'm going, I've got to find that. I looked everywhere. I turned everything upside down. The whole time I'm saying, God, just help me find that key. Help me find that key. End of the day, nothing. The next day I get up, I'm going, I've got to find that key. So I get all my stuff done, then I come back home again. This time, I took everything off the shelves in the garage. The entire garage. Because I'm thinking it fell behind something, because I went through the garage to get nothing. I'm thinking the dogs might have gotten the key. I might have dropped the key in there. I mowed the entire yard on high. Looking for, I actually saw something shining. I went, there it is. It was a grasshopper. Didn't know a grasshopper could shine. But it did. And by the end of the night, I'd gone through the garbage three times. Because I was just thinking it possibly could be falling into something. I had flipped the couch over, removed the staples to see if it had fallen down in the couch where I couldn't reach anymore. This whole time I'm praying, God, I need my key. I need my key. I need my key. It was Wednesday. 3 days. And all of a sudden, one of Sydney's friends came over to the house, and we were just talking. I was going, this key's gone. I said, I even did this. I took a flashlight. I waited till it got completely dark, and I took a flashlight out to the truck. And I was going, because I'm thinking it's going to reflect. And I was going, it's gone. One of Sydney's friends came over, and she said, I bet it's out in that truck. I said, it's not out in that truck. I said, I've checked it three times, checked it with a flashlight. Rebecca's checked it. I said, it's not out there. She said, can I go check? I said, you go have fun. 30 seconds later, she came back in the door with those keys. Now, it was nice on Wednesday to get the keys, but I had been asking God all the time. And I'm not saying that this is a big deal, but it stressed me out. I'm going, God, why did you want me to be stressed out? If it was in the truck the whole time, I checked on that the first day. How could I have missed that? And listen, I don't know what you're stressed out about or what you need God to do for you right now. But let me throw out some things. You know, maybe you're a teenager who's been praying for your parents' marriage and it didn't work and they got a divorce. Maybe you've been giving and giving and giving to the church and doing really good things for the church, but you're still financially strapped. And you kind of go, God, that doesn't make sense. I've been doing what you've asked me to do. I need you to do for me what you want me to do. Maybe you've been praying and praying and praying for someone who's sick or hurting to be healed, and they don't get healed. And you go, God, man, I've been asking for that. Surely you want that. You had a dream. Maybe you're married and you had a dream of a big family and you can't get pregnant. And you see all these other families having kids. And you've prayed and you prayed and you prayed. Here's what happens when we want an on-demand God and we don't get it. Here's kind of where I was, you know, Tuesday searching for keys. And not really in a big way, but I can see on some of these other things, how someone in a really big way could start this thought, maybe God's not real. And I've been praying forever for that. Maybe God's not powerful. Maybe he hears me, but he can't do anything about it. Maybe God isn't good. Or maybe God just doesn't care. You know, as we talk about questions you would ask God, or you ask somebody why you don't come to church, you know, they might say, hey, I want to believe in God. But I've been praying forever for God to remove this depression from my life. And he won't do it. And therefore, I don't believe in God. I've been praying and praying for my marriage to be healed. And God's not doing it. And therefore, I really don't believe in God. You see how powerful that one question is of, why, God? Why don't you answer my prayers? Why don't you do this? What I want to look at today are just some things to put it into perspective. I want us to think as Christians, as Bible believers, as people who worship God, how do we put into perspective the fact that so many times God doesn't answer our prayers? Here's the first note that I want you to write. If you're taking notes, put this down. If you want to have perspective on why God doesn't always answer our prayers, here's point one. God doesn't exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. God doesn't exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. Now we're going to get into how much God loves us, how much God wants to be with us. We're going to get into it. But if you don't start with this first thought as you're battling through this question, is that the story isn't about me. The Bible, the main character isn't named Blake Nichols. And the main character isn't your name. The main character of this story is your Father in heaven. And when we start putting that into perspective, that God doesn't exist to serve us, we exist to serve him. Listen, he may answer our prayers when we want him to, or he might have another purpose. We can't think of God as simply a celestial sugar daddy, right? Handing out the money when we need the money, handing out the... We can't think of God as a cosmic genie. You know, when I rub the... If I rub the lamp right, you know, if I just ask God the right questions, if I just get on my knees, if I say it the right way, he's a genie and he's going to zap. We can't think of God like that. God loves us and he wants to give us good things. We'll talk about it. But if that's our mindset, it's not that we don't believe in God. It's that we don't believe in this fake God that our world has put forward. That God is some kind of magic Coke machine. And I put my prayer in the slot, and I push the button, and I pick up the answer to my prayer. That's not God. God is what it's all about. And we're here to serve him. Now let's talk through what that means. What does it mean to realize that God's the creator and I'm the created? What does it mean that God is the potter and I am the clay? What does it mean that God is the Lord and I am the servant? I got 3 points I want to show you today. 3 things that I think if we get down, we'll kind of get a better understanding of how God answers prayers. The first thing I want you to hear is if you're battling with that question of why doesn't God answer my prayers, is this. Number one, God's heart is always loving. God's heart is always loving. Listen, I know I've got a bunch of parents here. And if you're a parent or a grandparent or if you want to be, here's what I know, number one, about parents is that you love your children. Amen? You know, sometimes you want to smack them, right? Sometimes you don't like your children. But deep down, you have an unquenchable love for your children. That's point number one. Here's point number two, is that you don't give your children everything they want when they want it, right? If you do, you're a bad parent. And we know this. We know that sometimes our kids ask for things that's not the best for them. They'll ask to go see something. They'll ask to go do something. They'll ask for something that we know that wouldn't be right for them. So as a parent, we have to say no sometimes. You know, we can do it. We can meet whatever request they have. We have the ability, the power, the finance to give them what they're asking for. But because of our love for them, we say at this time, that's not a good idea for you. You see, we love them, but that doesn't mean we give them everything they want. Now, if a parent is like that, how much more is God? See, God loves you, but he doesn't always give you what you need when you ask for it. And it's not because he doesn't love you, it's because he does love you. Let me show you a scripture real quick. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read verse 35. It says, Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall do that? Shall trouble or hardships or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of sword? It says, what kind of things will separate us from the love of Christ? I want you to see here that they're going for the love of Christ, but bad things are happening. Bad things are happening. If you jump down to verse 37, it says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, not through our prayer request, not because God takes some stuff, but watch this. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Says, man, if we can focus in on the fact that God loves us, it doesn't matter if famine comes, it doesn't matter if hardship, persecution, nakedness, danger of sword. Listen, I read those and I was going, well, that's interesting, right? Could we update that a little bit? Because I don't know, I don't think any of y'all are going to be naked and at sword point this week. If you are, I want to hear that story. You write to me and let me. But what about this? You know, could we say, what could separate us from the love of God? Could financial trouble separate us from the love of God? Could relationship problems separate us from the love of God? Could unemployment separate us from the love of God? Could cancer separate us from the love of God? Could depression separate us from the love of God? And I will say to all those things, just like Paul said to this, no, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. You see, God's love isn't the absence of those things. God's love is what gets us through those things. God does not prove His love for us by answering our prayers. God does not prove His love for you by answering your prayers. God proved His love for you by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you on a cross, forgiving you of your sins, and creating the ability for you to have a relationship with Him forever. That's how God proved His love. And we sit here so many times, and even some of the smallest little things, and getting all mad at God. You don't love me, God, because you don't give me these things. And God says, listen, I love you. And sometimes that's why I'm not giving it to you right now. Just trust me. Just trust me. Point number one was God's heart is always loving. Point number two, His ways are always higher. God's ways are always higher. Listen, we don't understand sometimes why things happen. I'll tell you, as a pastor, I'll get that question. Someone will come up to me and they'll go, Blake, okay, if God is real, why did this happen to me? Why did that happen to me? And listen, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I try not to fake it. I try to look people in the eyes and go, I don't know. I don't know why that happened. I don't know why, you might have a child who is born with a handicap. I don't understand that. I don't know why a good person dies in the middle of their life when you just go, wow, that person could have lived so much longer and done so much more good things. I don't understand why natural disasters happen, terrorist attacks happen. You know, when someone looks at me and goes, why did that happen? I look them back in the face and I go, I don't understand it. Don't understand why God does. But this is what I do know. I know in Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 9, Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, it says this. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Listen, I don't want to serve a God whose thoughts are even with my thoughts. I want to serve a God whose thoughts are so much higher than what I can think about. But listen, when you serve a God whose thoughts are so much higher than what you can think about, you've got to have trust that His ways are higher than your ways. And when you're going through something, you might not understand it. You might go, God, I just don't get it. And God's going, oh, if you'll just wait. If you'll just wait. You might not even understand it while you're here on this earth. But you've got a relationship with Him for eternity. And I tell this to people all the time. I said, listen, that's the first thing I'm going to ask God when I get to heaven. Because I want to know that. And I realize I might not know it now. But His ways are higher than my ways. Listen, this sounds silly, but have y'all been to the movies lately? Have you seen the chairs they've got now that recline and your feet go up? Oh, this is nice, folks. It's cushiony. I hit a button with my elbow, and all of a sudden my chair started heating up. Now, we've got this little thing called a movie pass, and movie pass is going crazy right now. And the only movie theater it works basically with now is this thing called Studio Movie Grill, which is over on Highway 6, which is an old movie they kind of revamped, but they don't have reclining seats. I went there last week because that's the only place my movie pass works, and I sat down in a seat that a year ago would have been just fine. But I just go, this isn't good. I can't put my feet up. You know, I'm just going, they've lost it because now I'm used to a comfortable seat at a movie theater. I know that doesn't make sense with what I'm talking about, but here's what I want to say is that I think so many times we have said, God, I'd rather have the uncomfortable seat. I'd rather have the old way. And God's going, no, I've got a nice, comfortable seat for you. It reclines. It's got the heater on it. And we get all mad and we kind of go, God, I'm just going to stay here in this seat. And God said, I've got something better for you. But you've got to trust me to get to it. And we're living our lives in old seats. And we're getting mad at God. And God's saying, come here to me. And something bad happens in our life. And instead of going towards God and finding out the blessing that God has for us, we turn and we go the opposite way. We just stay in the situation we're in. So when God sends hard times, sometimes when he doesn't answer prayers, it's because he's got some comfy seats for you. He's got something better. But we've got to go through the hard times. You know, maybe you haven't been able to find that house that you want. Or maybe you put down money on a house. And you said, God, why didn't you? It just falls through. And you go, God, why didn't you give me that house? And 6 months, a year later, all of a sudden God provides a better house at a better price. And a year later you're going, oh God, thank you for not giving me that house, right? See, there was something better. And I talk to families all right all the time that have healthy children. And then they have a child that has some serious problems. And when it happens, they're questioning, they're going, God, why? But you talk to them 5, 6 years later and they say, I can't tell you the joy that we would have missed if we didn't have this child in our life. And see, we don't understand. When hard things happen, God doesn't answer prayers like we want him to, we get stuck right where we're at. I want you to know that his ways are always higher. He always loves you. And last point, God's presence is always enough. God's presence is always enough. Yeah, there's a guy in the Bible named David. You ever hear of David before? He said he was a man after God's own heart. And here's what I know about David is he had a perfect life and nothing ever went wrong. Yeah, have you read the Bible? That guy had, I mean, it just blows your mind that here is someone that the Bible says is a man after God's own heart. But you look at his life and there's waves of trouble, waves of trouble, waves of trouble. You know, Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, is one of David's Psalms. And here's what he says in the 23rd Psalm. Y'all have heard it at funerals. We've actually preached it here in first of the year. But I love this one. He says, for though I walk through the darkest valley, the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're getting me, you brought me out of it? No, he said he's walking through it. He said, here's why I'm not going to fear evil, is because you are with me. It says your staff and your rod, they comfort me. He said, I'm looking at you and I'm in the middle of this horrible situation, but I'm going, look how powerful my God is. And if I can see you as that, just that fact that I am with you in the hard times. Look, this one's hard to explain. But this is what I know, is that you learn a little bit about God on the mountaintop. You learn some about God. You want to really know God? You go down in the valley with him. You go through some hard times with God. And what you're going to find is that God is trying to build character in you and build trust and faith. And that doesn't happen on the mountaintop. That happens in the valley. I was had that hard week this week, losing the keys. You know, it's kind of silly, but at the same time, Sydney, my number two daughter, she's going off to college. That's a little bit stressful. We had some financial issues with dentist. I Come on, dentist, bring that price down a little bit. But, you know, taking all six of us to the dentist at one time, and I'm just kind of looking at my checkbook going, shouldn't this work out a little bit better? And, you know, we have a little bit of stress, you know, what's going on at church right now financially and what's going on with our new building. And probably about Wednesday, before I found that key, you know, I was just all tight. You know, Rebecca could see it in my eyes. You know, usually I'm just kind of, and she's going, you're not doing good, are you? And I said, just a little bit stressed. And when I was in that moment where I was just going, God, why is all this happening? A song came back to me. It was from Mercy Me. We saw that movie last week. Y'all remember that? You know, the guy that he was beaten by his dad and how God used that. They wrote a song called If I Could Just Sit With You a While. It says, when I cannot feel, when my wounds don't heal, Lord, I humbly kneel, hidden in you. Lord, you are my life, so I don't mind to die just as long as I am hidden in you. If I could just sit with you a while, if you could just hold me, nothing can touch me, though I'm wounded, though I've died. If I could just sit with you a while, I need you to hold me moment by moment till forever passes by. And I thought about that, and I was just kind of going, maybe God was bringing me through that so that I would call out for him. You know, until God is all you have, you'll never know that God is all you need. Let me say it one more time. Until God is all you have, until this world is just broken and fallen to the side, at that point is when you'll learn the greatest thing, that God is all you need. You see, if God is just throwing out answers to prayer and we never walk through a hard time, this is the size of our faith in God. And you need a bigger faith in God. And that's why God sometimes doesn't answer them. But I want you to hear today that he always loves you, that his ways are higher than yours, and that he wants you to call out to him. And he'll be there to hold you and to get you through whatever you're going through. God is too strong, too powerful, too sovereign, too good to be my puppet. I don't want a God that's my puppet. I want a God that's all powerful, all knowing, and all loving. And that's who you serve. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just want to thank you for this morning. And God, as we come up now just to sing, God, I just pray that if someone is hurting today, God, if there's an unanswered prayer, God, if there's something that they've been dealing with for a while, God, I ask that you would just let them feel your presence right now. I pray you would just hold them. God, just lift them up and let them know they serve a powerful God. God, when it's their time to come through that trial, God, that they would look back and see that you walked with them the whole way. God, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to enter into...